Welcome back. You're listening to The Cube 88.9 FM. This show is called The Townships at 12, and I'm your host, Maureen. Now, in this half hour, we'll be talking with Dr. George Sieber. Now, Bishop's University Chancellor Daniel Fournier will preside over the 197th Convocation Ceremony, in which degrees will be conferred on over 600 graduates for the class of 2024. Convocation marks an important milestone of all Bishop's University graduates, a memorable life event for students who have been the heart of the community in recent years, remarks Bishop's University Chancellor Daniel Fournier, and we are confident that they are well prepared to do so. Convocation is also an occasion to recognize the outstanding achievements of deserving individuals by conferring doctorates in civil law, DCL, upon honoreds, and this year's include the Dr. George Sieber, who graduated in 1966. He is an internationally recognized vaccine expert. We're going to be talking with Dr. Sieber in a moment, but first of all, we'll hear the song called Nice to Meet You by Imagine Dragons. Right after the song, we'll hear the interview, so please stay tuned. For The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM, and today we're very honored to welcome Dr. George Sieber to the Townships at 12. Now, Dr. Sieber is a graduate of 66 from Bishop's University?
Yes, 66, and, okay. 60 years ago.
And you're an internationally recognized vaccine expert, and it's such an honor to talk to you, and you'll be receiving an honorary doctorate degree in civil law at the Bishop's Convocation Ceremonies happening on this Saturday, June 1st. So welcome, Dr. Sieber.
Thank you so much.
Could you share a bit about your background and what led you to specialize in vaccines?
Well, to begin with, I made a decision to become a medical doctor. I guess a person that influenced me in making that decision is actually a very famous Canadian called Wilder Penfield, who founded the Montreal Neurological Institute and is a very famous neurosurgeon. The way he influenced me was I read a book of his in high school, a novel about Hippocrates, the doctor, a Greek doctor who realized that medicine should be a science. And that turned me into wanting to be a doctor myself. And then infectious disease happened. That decision came later. I was working at Harvard University studying infectious disease, actually, and decided that I would do vaccine work as my major career goal. And the reason I decided that was there was a Nobel Prize winning doctor there who was still in the lab. He was already in his 70s and had gotten the Nobel Prize for developing polio vaccine. And I was just impressed with the kind of impact developing vaccines and putting vaccines out into the world could have. And I wanted to have impact too.
Okay. What are some of the most significant achievements in your career so far?
Well, I've been involved with developing probably 8 or 9 or 10 vaccines altogether. And two of them are especially significant. They involve preventing respiratory diseases, pneumonias. One in very small children called respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. You read more and more about that disease now as we're developing better vaccines with time. It's a killer of small children in particular, but also older people have severe disease. And so the vaccine will be used in older people and in the very young. Okay. And the second vaccine, similarly, is for pneumococcal pneumonia. It's a bacterial pneumonia, also a very severe disease, again, in very old people and the very young babies.
Okay. Can you explain the general process of how a new vaccine is developed from the initial research to public availability?
Well, that's a great question. It's a long process. You know, the average time to develop a new vaccine is about 12 years. And it starts with experiments in the lab, you know, figuring out how to make the vaccine at the benchtop level in a laboratory, showing that the way you purify the vaccine is efficient and can be scaled up. You have to show it works in animal systems first and it's safe in animal systems. And then you go gradually into people, small numbers to start, then larger numbers later, and then eventually big, you know, thousands of people to make sure it's working as intended and it's safe enough for general use. That is the general process and it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest challenges faced during vaccine development?
Oh, gosh. Well, most often, you know, and very often, the things don't work. And so you have to go back to the drawing board. I think the large studies of effectiveness and efficacy of vaccines are very challenging because many of these diseases are not that common. So you end up having to study tens of thousands of patients. And you have to do a study, which is called a randomized trial, where you give half of the people in the study the vaccine and the other half get a placebo or a different kind of vaccine. And then you wait until the very end, often 3 or 4 years later, to look to see, break the code and look to see what whether the vaccine worked or not. And fortunately, in my case, many of the vaccines I developed did work and have become products that are in the marketplace.
That's amazing. What about people who are against vaccinations?
Well, there's a lot of that, unfortunately, in the news. And I think it comes from people being afraid or not knowing the tremendous benefit of vaccines versus the occasional, and this does happen, there can be side effects from the vaccine. But when you weigh one against the other, you know, it's very clear that the benefits far outweigh the adverse events. But you have to admit, and you have to be honest, that sometimes vaccines can have side effects. And we have systems to, of course, compensate people for when that happens. But the side effects are rare, and the benefits are real.
Mm-hmm. Now, in light of the recent global health crisis, such as the COVID-19 pandemic, what lessons have been learned about the vaccine distribution?
Yeah, that's another good question. I think what's happened is, yet again, that the vaccines were made available first to the wealthy countries, and there was plenty of vaccine available very quickly for the wealthy countries. Lessons were learned in accelerating the process under emergency conditions that we, I think, can hopefully benefit from with other vaccines in the future. But the biggest problem we had, globally at least, is that it was very slow to get vaccines to some of the poorest countries in the world. And it's always been slow. It was better this time around than it was previously, but still unacceptably slow. So it took years for vaccines to get to Africa and India and some less developed countries in the world.
Mm-hmm. How do you see the future of vaccine technology?
Well, it's growing and developing very quickly. There are new technologies that have come along. I think in particular, the RNA technology that you've heard of, the COVID vaccines that were available in the U.S. and Canada initially were so-called RNA vaccines, which is a technology that had never been licensed as in a vaccine before. And so that technology has very wide application. But other technologies have also evolved greatly and have made it much easier to develop vaccines, much quicker, much more efficient, safer. And so these improvements, I think, will continue and make it easier to make vaccines, not only for infections, but also for other diseases, such as cancer. I think we will end up having cancer vaccines, or for autoimmune diseases, such as lupus or dermatitis, atopic dermatitis, things like that, asthma, and so forth.
Okay. Now, do you see a vaccine in the future that will just eradicate COVID?
I think it's been done before to eradicate a disease, and the example is smallpox. We don't have smallpox anymore. We were able to eradicate it from the world by immunizing enough people and preventing transmission when there were outbreaks. Measles is not so far behind. Polio also is not so far behind. We have hopes of eradicating those diseases. I think for respiratory diseases such as influenza or COVID, it's going to be a lot more difficult. So I think COVID, I would not put high on the list in my own lifetime anyway, to be eradicated.
Okay. What has been the most rewarding moment in your career as a vaccine expert?
Well, I'd say it was when we broke the code on the study on the pneumococcal vaccine, which is a really huge life-saving vaccine that is used throughout the world now in adults and children. And when we done the phase 3 study that I decided in 30,000 children in California and found that there were 13 cases in the unimmunized group and no cases in the vaccine group. And the vaccine, of course, therefore was very highly effective.
Okay. Can you share an example of a public health campaign or initiative that you think has been particularly successful?
Well, example I think that most recently comes to mind is the introduction of COVID vaccine in the U.S. It obviously had a number of hiccups along the way, I could call it, but you know, in America, in USA, and I think in Canada as well, the uptake of an acceptance of the COVID vaccine actually turned out to be very high. and we saved a lot of lives by that. So I think it was a successful campaign. Of course, the anti-vax people also mounted a big effort, and so there are people, and often for political reasons more than scientific reasons, who rejected the vaccine. And it was to their detriment, because the rate of getting COVID and of dying from COVID was higher in those who didn't get immunized. A lot higher.
Mm-hmm. Could you convey one critical message about vaccines to our audience? What would that message be?
You know, the most critical message is to inform yourself from the news, and there's plenty on the news, and particularly from your healthcare providers, your physicians and the nurses. They should be able to give you good advice in terms of vaccines for you and your children in particular. And they know your situation. They know your medical issues. Occasionally, there might be a reason not to have a vaccine for underlying medical problems. The person to talk to are your medical providers to get their input and advice.
Okay. Are there any upcoming projects or research studies that you're involved with that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I continue to work in the areas that I mentioned before, especially respiratory infections. And so I'm a consultant for a number of biotechnology companies. I'm on the advisory board of the International Vaccine Institute in Seoul. I work with the Gates Foundation. I consult with the government on occasion. And so I try to be involved with a broad array of vaccine developments, but my particular interests are to prevent respiratory infections, that's really the area where the most severe infections are still occurring.
Okay, wonderful. Anything else we left out that you would like to add, Dr. Sieber?
You've been very thorough. No, I think we've covered the key areas of interest. I just encourage everybody to inform themselves on vaccines and on try to understand the misinformation and the good information, and get accurate data for themselves and make good decisions about getting immunized.
No, thank you so much, Dr. Sieber, internationally recognized vaccine expert who will be at convocation on June 1st at Bishop's University, receiving an honorary degree in civil law. Well, we thank you so much. Really an honor to talk to you, and all the best in your future.
My pleasure, Marie. Thank you very much.
Yeah. that you got. No, how can it be when you're a better lady? How can you say that I've got no problems?
We just heard a song by Ginger Root, and the song is called No Problems. You're listening to the Townships at 12 here on The Cube, 88.9 FM.
And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Science keeps trying to warn us sitting is terrible for us. Sedentary behavior is associated with a slew of health risks, from an increased chance for chronic diseases such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and cancer, to a potentially shorter lifespan, says study after study. When we're seated, our bodies slip into low power mode, our muscles take a nap, fat burning slows, and calorie torching goes on break. This sets the stage for issues like unhealthy weight gain, mental health troubles, and aches and pains, which can all contribute to future health problems. But there's good news. Research suggests that finding reasons to move more throughout your day could be an antidote. Awesome, you may be thinking, but I don't have the time to add something to my well-to-do list. So, you can set mystery alarms, have a one-song dance party, stretch, refill your water bottle, do jumping jacks, squats, push-ups, rethink your work, use a standing desk, take lunch on the go for a few days a week, do some afternoon chair yoga, and turn TV night into game night. So that's some health news here on the Townships at 12, and that is from the magazine called Prevention, and it's from the June issue 2024.
Thanks very much, everybody, for listening to today's show. Thanks again for my guest, the first half, Carl Hunting from the Eastern Townships Vintage Automobile Club, telling us all about the car show coming up on June 2nd. And in the second part today, Dr. George Sieber, internationally recognized vaccine expert. We'll close today's show with a song called Myself, and it's by Sofia Camara and Fernando Daniel. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Better than I know myself, and I hate that feeling. You're the person that I want around, like all the time. I'm feeling so dumb, 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 yeah. 'Cause I've been in love since we were 17. You're the air I need, and holding it in could be the death of me. Take it now.
I'm telling myself that it's taking my heart out of my sleep now, pushing it down and you'll never find out. Bury my love 6 feet underground, keep how I feel myself.